Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Live from Florida's capital city, this is the Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness on Real Talk 93.3. Now, stop what you're doing and listen closely. It's time for the Jeff Cameron Show in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
To Jeff Cameron Show. Thanks for tuning to it. I'm Jeff. That is Tom. Director Matthew in the house as well. Appreciate you. As always, first hour largely spent talking about today's observations from the tour of duty. We've had a way of making sure that it is thorough. You can go to warchant.com and you'll see practice observation notebooks and the like. You'll see plenty of video clips, 45 minutes of raw footage from the workout that Tom alluded to. You've got interviews from Norvell and Josh Storms. They addressed the assembled press after practice. Myself and Ira Shafel did a five-minute wrap summary of summary of what we saw. And then, of course, a ton of clips. So stories, video, radio, you name it, we got it. Thoroughly covered today's tour of duty, and it was cool. I enjoyed it. They've come a long way from 2 and 3 years ago, that is for sure. There's talent everywhere. And I know that now you just got to see it, you know, come through and take the big step and guys, you know, play at an elite level. But I think they've got a lot of options, so many more options. We were laughing about it today. We were talking about how, man, a year or so ago, you'd look at a group and you'd say, well, those two are really good. And if they stay healthy, they'll be really good. But if either one of those two get hurt, we've got problems. And then you'd go over here and you'd say, well, those three are all right, but man, I don't know. We lose any of those guys, we take a huge step back all of a sudden. Yeah, and you're not doing that as much anymore, to me at all. It's really cool.
What sounds fun to me is the praise for Malik Benson. Mike Norvell took extra time to speak on Malik Benson and his attitude and the way he's gotten around the team, and Josh Storms did the same, saying that Malik's always in the facility and that he's giving to his teammates. You don't have to be a leader, even though you're old, you know, but it's nice to see that a transfer has come in there and he's become indispensable. You know, that's when you put that together with the athleticism that he brings to the table, it makes me very excited. It makes me want to root for that particular player to see how he does. From the film that we could see, from the things that you saw with your own eyes today at the tour of duty, Malik Benson looks the part. He looks to be somebody who would be classified as the number one athlete in JUCO, going to Alabama a year ago. Like that part of it, you check the box. I'm excited to see how he integrates with the offense, if he can be one of the top two receivers, as he's penciled in to be right now. It's just when you have that total essence of being a good teammate, a member of the culture, a member of the roster, then you have an offensive version of a player like a Jared Verse, who comes in as a transfer, but you could tell he moved the drills along. I was so glad to hear that today, because the receiver position is one that needs a little bit more stability than others because of the turnover that there's been in the last offseason.
That's going to be a position where the competition is fierce. I think this may be the best crop. See, this is the thing I keep talking about, and when I get into the conversation about why I believe they'll be better on offense next year, there are plenty of guys that it is fair to say have to prove to you that they can do it in a game consistently. Within that group. That's a fair counter to my enthusiasm regarding it. But they have a greater depth of overall talent and speed and size at that position group than they've had at any other time in Norvell's tenure. there are so many guys that have a chance to be very, very good players before they leave here. I think there are a few that have a chance to be real stars before they leave here. I think, and again, I'm asked to give an opinion on a daily basis, and I've been given this one for a while. Today led to further confirmation of my suspicions. I think Hakeem Williams is going to be a star. I think they've got a chance to kind of look at a group of, say, 4 to 5 dudes that make impacts week to week at wide receiver. They've got that. And, you know, I didn't mention him one time in that first hour, and it's a disservice. I did mention him in my write-up. And I don't know, he's a guy that I would be skeptical of, too, because, goodness gracious, it became a joke. It became sort of a, we'd roll our eyes. But, Tom, I am once again emboldened enough to say Jackson West is going to make a difference for this football team. And people can laugh. Jackson West was tough today, Tommy. That guy was in incredible shape. It's the best he has ever moved, ever. It's not even close. To the point, and I'll just say this, I won't name everybody, but those of us kind of intermingling there on the beat, people working for this side or that side or this place or that place or whatever it might be, we all, at various points, independent, it was not groupthink, said, golly, Jackson West is looking out here looking good today. Look at old Jackson West. I heard some phrasing of that ilk several times where people kind of looked at it. I'm going to say it. I don't care what you think of me. Jackson West is out here looking good. Has anybody noticed the Jackson West? And then the next guy that I would go down the line, I'm sitting there watching practice with. Well, I tell you, that Jackson West kind of surprised me today. Then later on, I'd move to another part of the field. We're sitting there. It was always with great reluctance that the person bothered to present this, right? Including myself a couple of times, right? You know, is it just me or does Jackson West look good out here like he might do? You know, and it happened. It seems universal. So, Tom, please let it be true because he's ill-tempered, mean-spirited. He's quick to punch guy, but damn it, he's got a cool name, and I like that he's edgy. And he's finally healthy. He moved with great fluidity. It looked like, for the first time in his life, he was not robotic. He was smooth. He looked fast. And he cared. He led drills. He had the black jersey. He was doing it, Tom.
Well, I would like to see it in spring practice. Because you could tell the difference between the people that were there and the people that weren't, because I'd like to see it in camp. I take your word for it. I do believe you, but you're predisposed to love you some Jackson West.
I am.
The good news for Jackson is that there will be opportunities abound in that tight end room. I mean, Kyle Morlock, yeah, that's one part of the issue, or one part of the solution. But the issue is the second guy. Who is that going to be? And I know Mike Norvell listed a few players today that he liked in the tight end room. Brian Courtney, your favorite linebacker, was one of those. But Jackson West was mentioned there, and they were talking about, oh, they might be able to help bring along a couple of guys like Landon Thomas, but the opportunity is there. You need an inline tight end. You need somebody who can block. He did get an increased rep count as the season
late
went on,
year.
And
yeah,
you could tell
things
weren't going so hot with Biscuit. We now know in retrospect because Biscuit like entered the transfer portal 10 seconds after the snub, so you knew that in retrospect some things were problematic. They were giving Jackson reps, and it wasn't that impressive. It didn't look like he was ready. But if he is, there's a reason they brought him here. There's a reason Mike Norvell himself raved about Jackson West early on in his career. He said, I can't wait to see what Jackson West does. We didn't do that. Mike did that. So let's see if maybe in the end he's proven right about this guy. Because you're right. I heard it from a few people. He looked good today.
It's funny. I'm glad that other people said it because you're right. People know I've kind of rooted for that guy. I've been like, come on, Jackson West, you could do something. And then it got to be where he'd have a good practice, and then I'd be the one who would dismiss it because I was so mad that he had never lived up to the hype, and I dismissed him. I'd given up. I'd given up on Jackson West. I'd given him the tough love treatment and everything, and then people would practice and be like, oh, Jackson West having a couple, you know, nice plays out here. That'd be my response. I don't care. He's a bum. He's never going to do a thing. And then You know, that's harsh. But that's the way Tough Love Cameron lives. And then, you know, look, no doubt he got more time at the end of last year, but this is the first he's ever looked truly healthy. He was ready to go. Ready to go. Okay, Jackson, you've piqued my interest. Spring will be interesting to see if he's the guy that seizes the day of this second opportunity. Dravius Jacobs was out there, L. Mitchell. I was happy about that. He always looks fast. He always looks good. Got to see whether he gets through spring doing the right thing. I don't doubt his ability. He's one of those guys, if Andravius Jacobs left this program because, I don't know, he got angered by something, right? He just wasn't happy with the way things were working out. He's one of those guys where we all have a guy that you see the tools, you see the talent, and you go, oh, man, I know what's going to happen here. One of two things is going to happen here. That guy's going to announce he's going wherever, okay? And we're going to watch him when he arrives at said place, and he's going to have a 7-catch, 120-yard game, and we're going to go, damn it, I knew it! Or you're never going to hear about him again, and it's going to be the story of, oh, what could have been. If that kid could have just, you know, it's going to be one of those two things, right? That's the way I would feel if somehow Andravius Jacobs is not able to perform for Florida State, because it's all in there. And believe me, they would not I don't think people – listen, we're not naive. We're not children here. We get it. Like, this is true from the highest levels of corporate America all the way down to just athletics or anything else. If you're talented, if you've got the goods, if you've got ability, whatever it is you do, if you have that and it's above and beyond the norm, you get second, third, fourth chances. You get opportunities to kind of make right if you misstep. And not everything is a gross misstep. I'm not talking about like something that would make you cringe. I'm just talking about if you just don't apply yourself or you're not focused or you don't, you know, you're a little late to a meeting or something. Like, you get chances, especially if you're really talented. And Jacobs is a kid that I think is like that for them, where they see it, they know it's in there. And right now, the risk you have when you're a young player who's talented is that every recruiting cycle, coaches are recruiting over you. They have to. It's their job. They recruit over everybody, not just you, but they recruit over you. It gets easier for them to recruit over you and kind of ignore you as they stockpile players at your position. And think about what they've done, Tom, at that position with whom they've, you know, with who they brought in. So you're in danger when you're first here and you're one of the more talented guys. You stand out and you get your chances. You get second, third, and fourth opportunities. As that position group gets deeper and more talented, hey, man, you're either going to do it or you're not going to do it. I'm not going to babysit you anymore, and I'm not really worried about whether you're going to do it, because I got this option, this option, this option, and this option. I didn't have it when I first brought you here. Now I got it. So fly right and get straight, or we're done. And I think this is why I'm going to be watching that very closely. I damn it, man. I want to see it.
It's an important spring and fall camp for him. It's an important spring and fall camp from somebody that I don't think his name has come up. This is what's nice when you have a deep roster full of talented people and individual stories that are compelling and or, you know, they're going to be entertaining, because this is kind of it. You know, this the upcoming year. Julian Armella. We talked about him on the phone.
He looked good today, buddy. He looked really good today.
He looks like he's hit the gym hard, my
man. No, he's in shape. He's in shape, and he ran hard, and he played hard today. He attacked the workouts. And why do I say that? I don't say that condescendingly. There are veteran players who we're wondering about. Is this the last spring we ever see him? I mean, let's just be honest about that. There are veteran players out here that it is time. Right? It is time. Let's go. And Armella is one of them. He might be the biggest name of the bunch that we talk about as, okay, all right, buddy, because it's in there. There are moments. But let's just say it. You got to stay off the ground in practice. You got to stay off the ground. There are way too many reps where Julian Armella gets manhandled. And then there are reps where Julian Armella looks like he is a surefire starter and can dominate. So he's a weird case study. And there were all these whispers about Armella as to whether or not he was going to stick around, whether he was disgruntled or frustrated or whatever it is. So I don't know how true all that is anymore with the way the transfer portal works. People are always leveraging things. I never know what to believe, and I don't mire myself or the show in these things unless it's like a 3-alarm fire, right? But you hear those whispers about an Armella, and I tell you why it's important then to see him come out and be in great shape, having gotten bigger and stronger, and attack the workouts. That tells me he's committed. That tells me that he cares deeply. A guy who's hell-bent on riding out is not going to put himself through the paces in that way if he doesn't expect to put his best foot forward and have an opportunity to be a starter or a major contributor at the very least. It's just too hard. It's just too hard. What they're asked to do and the amount of sacrifice that it takes, you're not going to do if you're pussyfooting from a commitment standpoint. So it was great to see that. People wonder why we prattle on about guys. Sometimes there's a bigger picture. There's a deeper meaning. I get he's still got to perform in a game and be great. He's got to find a way to take that. But you are waiting on some of these guys to show you that they care as much as they have to care.
And the thing about him was towards the end of last regular season, he was front and center on everything, listening to Mike Norvell intently, participating. He was engaged, you know, and I thought that was a good sign. Flew in the face of some of those whispers. You never know. I mean, you could be, you know, professional until the last day at your job. Like, you could do that, and that's, you know, NIL thing more than ever. It has been before. It's like, yeah, I'm going to say all the right things, and then peace, I'm out of here. I never thought that was going to be the case with Julian Armella up to this year. Like, he's got a shot this year to be in the rotation. Now, they might have brought in too many dudes for him to be a starter, but he does look the part physically in a way that he hasn't before. He's consistently progressed. I think he's taken another step. The thing about him that the reason we always talk about him is not because of the recruiting hype. There have been plenty of dudes that have been 4-stars that arrive on campus and you're like, not going to work out. Too bad. With him, his best reps, even as a true freshman, were notable reps against dudes that ended up being draft picks and are going to be draft picks. Last year, the same thing. His best reps, excellent. Has the mean streak, has the care on the field to defend his teammates. And if the O-line's getting bullied a little bit or he thinks it's out of order, he'll straighten it out. Like, I love all those things about him. But the bad reps are bad. Oof. And so you've got to eliminate the bad ones. And that's what this whole camp is going to be about. The fewer the bad reps for Julian, the higher, the sooner he can be what we think he can be, because the top end of what he does is plenty capable. And I just hope that he puts it together. It is a good start to see that he is engaged physically in Josh Storm's program in the offseason.
Yeah, the bad reps are him on his ass. I mean, that's what it turns out to be. And so I need my man to stay off the ground, and let's get it together. Hey, in a moment, we're going to solve the future with our very good friends at ISF. I'll tell you more about them momentarily. But first, attention, Florida. If you're a victim of an auto accident, we introduce our live chat sponsor, Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, dedicated to representing injured clients statewide. If you've been in an accident, call Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, 813-803-0733. That's a free consultation. Remember, there's no cost to you unless they win. Your interests come first with Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, the name you can trust for justice. Call 813-803-0733 now or visit HeisenLincolnLawFirm.com. Heisen Lincoln Law Firm, your advocate in times of need. Offices, Tampa. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Jeff Cameron Show. Appreciate you. You podcasters, you. We also appreciate our friends at Zaxby's. You hear me say that a lot. I need to say it a new way today, so you're not hearing the same thing over and over and over again. Zaxby's is delicious. Danny does a great job, and he's been a
Golden Chief booster at Florida State for over 19 years now. He cares a lot. He invests in Florida State. He invests in the Jeff Cameron Show. That means you should race out to Zaxby's right now and get a salad, Tom. A salad.
The salad, the fingers, the platters, it's all good stuff. And this is the part of the year where in Tallahassee the weather is so nice. A lot
Texas
of outdoor
toast.
Settings.
Just thought I'd say it.
And you got it before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the time of year where in town you want to go outside, go to Cascades, go to the ballpark.
Get the platters, baby.
Get outdoors and just bring some food. So when you do go to potluck, an outdoor potluck, don't waste time in the oven or on the, what they call it, a range. Don't do that. Don't
no.
be cooking.
No.
Go to Zaxby's. They're all over the place. Get the platter. Get the Texas toast.
Get the spicy Zax sauce.
And you could get some sweet tea while you're at it, too. Bring the tea for the people.
Forget about it. Good stuff. Zaxby's. We appreciate you, Zaxby's.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Away we go. Let's get to this. Will be fun. We can actually have this directed your way. Before I get to it, just want to thank our friends at Zaxby's. They have been proud supporters of FSU for well over 19 years, but proud supporters of the Jeff Cameron Show in a variety of forms for some time now as well. And that's really, really cool. We appreciate that. Thank you, Zaxby's. Thanks for your delicious food. And your 109 locations right here in the capital city. My goodness gracious, that's a lot of choice. Any part of the city you're in, you're good to go. Get some platters tomorrow, why don't you, huh? Get you some platters, why don't you do it?
I think it's a fair bet. I'll be back in studio 3 Mondays from now. It's the 25th, I want to say it is, 25th.
Mm-hmm.
There might be some Zaxby's in the studio that day.
Boom. I think let's
fair
do it.
Bet.
Good stuff. That is, as I mentioned, Golden Chief Booster Zaxby's for over 19 years. Doing the right thing, supporting the Jeff Cameron Show, supporting the Knowles. You should support the Zaxby's because Zaxby's supports the things you love. There you go. All right. Tom, you ready for this? You ready for our friends at ISF? You ready to ask, or we should, I say, ask you guys. Ask away in the chat, in the High Salika Law Firm chat. Boy, here we go. We just bombard you. Ask away questions for us, for yours truly, for me and Tom, regarding solving the future, the new players, any player you want to ask about. Many of you have already, but now is the time as we've partnered with the ISF. Of course, ISF helps state governments solve the future through strategy, process, and technology. More efficient. Let's get these dreams realized. Let's help these clients. Let's advise, protect, advance their business and technology objectives. ISF can do that. So if you're working in state government and you hear me talking, reach out to our friends at ISF, ISF.com. All right. Anybody we haven't talked about would love to hear more about Malik Benson. Well, you know, it's the first one of the first guys that Mike Norvell brought up. One of the very first players that were brought up today by Mike Norvell was him. And I think there's a few guys. I'm not surprised. Tom, here's something interesting. What do you think about, do you get a sense that that all of the Bama guys are going to be a hit? Don't you just get a sense that maybe every one of the Bama guys are going to be a hit? Because you couldn't get there without meeting certain very strict criteria. And the first and foremost of those is just this elite athleticism you got to play, you got to have, you got to, you know, to at least have shown to be recruited to go to a place like Alabama. And then number two, because that culture was ingrained, and I know Nick lamented it yesterday in the Chris Lowe interview. I know he said how frustrated he was when he came back after that game, after the loss to Michigan. But we know that, by and large, what Nick had created was a machine of elite talent, but elite talent that did things a certain way, or it didn't play. That's all there was to it, because they had guys behind guys behind guys behind guys for days that were five-star kids. And also, that kind of culture is what sustains winning over long periods of time. At some point, you're coming across teams that have the same sort of athleticism as you. But if you're going to win and have big years after big years, it's because there's a way that you do things and a methodology. And that's really what I'm referring to when I'm talking about these players that have come in specific to Alabama, I think, where they've all taken on leadership roles immediately. They've all been described as being vocal and ringleaders and can't keep them out of the gym. Like, that's what they come from. That's all they know.
Yeah, so there's a clip on the screen now for War Chant TV showing Malik run through a drill, and it's just so easy. It's just so he flies and glides. I think these guys, by and large, are going to work out. It's just a matter of, are they all going to be starters? You know, to me, and I know that the second question that came in was from Stephen FG. He's asking, with Rodney Hill gone, who would I favor? Man, Roydell Williams looks larger than I thought he would. He looks larger than I thought he would. He, it's something else to see Roydell Williams. There's a photo from Gene put up on the screen right now.
Yeah.
People aren't going to want to tackle that dude. And this is somebody that I think that was brought in principally because Rodney Hill is gone. I don't know that they go make this move. They had big plans for Rodney.
Yeah, Rodney blew it. Rodney blew it, straight up.
When he played his way out, this is the guy they brought in. And, man, when you think about the size that we have at so many different positions, and if you can have a lead into that second half with those big offensive linemen and DJU and Roydell and Keziah and Cam as he gets up to speed, this is going to be a group that you just, man, you're going to watch other teams give up. You're going to watch them say no mas, and I can't wait to see how much of a part of the equation Roydell Williams is. So it fits both parts. Like, what guy am I excited about? And yeah, to your point, I think these Alabama dudes might have something to them. They might be some good athletes here.
Yeah, a rule of thumb, if you've got a chance to go grab players that Nick Saban was recruiting and that brought in that were four or five star players at the time, you do it. It's not unlike this new Georgia rule we have, Tom, where if you could get a player from Georgia, I'd do it. I think it would work out. I'd make a run at him. That's just me. I take my chances that I'll get him to fit my culture. Does Cam start by season's end? Tony wants to know. You know, it's funny you bring it up because I'm not so sure because of Roydell, by the way. I'm not so sure. It's a freshman. It's a lot to ask. You know what that will be dependent on, Tony? Does he block in the passing game? Is he a complete back? Because I don't have any doubt that he's going to physically be ready to play and play a lot. He's just a big, gigantic kid. And he's low center of gravity. He's got great balance. He's all these things. As a runner, I don't have any questions about him. But I do think, I got to see all the other aspects of his game. It's hard to know. But I think they've got a lot going for him at running back. Let's just put it that way. They've got a lot going for him at running back. Any special teams concerns this early? Well, we won't know. But given what you have returning, both as a punter and as a kicker, you're loaded there. And you just added an influx of a ton of speed for the return game and guys that have done it before. No, I have zero concerns about special teams right now. In fact, I think it's going to be a strength for this football team yet again. I think it will be one of the better aspects of this team. So I believe it'll be very good. Is it possible Coach Norvell can rotate the trenches with even more frequency than last year due to depth? I suppose it is, and I know they're hell-bent on doing it. I don't always love it, but what I do love is if you're able to do it with a higher floor of talent. There were times last year, Tom, when we constantly rotated guys and didn't have your best two players off the edge on the field for important series. I would call myself critical of that. I don't think you should do that. I think it's a mistake to do that. Just because it did not bite them in the ass last year doesn't mean it wouldn't at some point against better talent. And maybe they wouldn't have done it if they were facing more consistently good teams on offense. But now if you do it, you might have the requisite depth to do that rotation and not see a significant drop-off.
Yeah, I think they were making a calculation on just getting to the finish line there were more bumps and bruises as the season went along, and they wanted to be able to finish strong, and they did. Like, so if you get through the week 7 hump, you know, or the Duke game or whenever that occurred, or some of the other critical moments in the schedule, and you were able to get past and win the game, your payoff and your reward is how fresh they looked against Florida and how fresh they looked against Louisville. So in the end, the risk happened in October. You know, it didn't happen in November and December. That's when the payoff came. Mm-hmm. I just wish that we got to see even more of a payoff, because I don't think they would have rotated nearly as openly with Michigan or Alabama or whoever they would have drawn
in the
invitational. I think they'd be like, this is our game. Jared, I need you for 70 snaps.
Yeah. You're going to have to be a man. Yeah.
The only reason you won't play 70 snaps is if we control the ball and we dominate, and you don't need to be out there because we're either up big or we just have the ball. There's only 50 to get, so we'll give you 50 then. But if there are however many snaps it takes. But I do think on the offensive line, there's more opportunity there as well, provided two things happen. Number one, Robert Scott's truly healthy. We'll see. Number two, Lucas Simmons gets up to speed. If you bring in those two players and you add them to the fold, because Robert wasn't a part of the fold last year. He just wasn't. He wasn't available. You have enough tackle depth now with them and Darius and Byers. You have a bunch of dudes on the interior. I think Armella profiles more to the interior. You could be looking at nine guys that you could rotate. Maybe another one if a younger player steps up. They might have more opportunity to rotate on the O-line, and that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because last year, and there was a lot of necessity out of that eight that they thought they had.
Yeah, I think it's
not a lot of rotation because they wanted to.
Yeah, I think it's important only if it's by choice. I just give me my best five, and I'm not a fan of rotating offensive linemen. There are specific types of guys that you can, you know, in short yardage situations, things that of that ilk, that's fine. But I give me, you've got better competition there. That's what I look at that depth as being. Like, if you got nine guys fighting for five, okay, good. Let's see if that competition is elevated. Yes, it's nice to have the luxury of being able to do it if a guy misses a game. You got another guy that you feel like he's really right there with them. That's true. I'm not a fan of rotating that many guys on the offensive line. We'll see if they do it. L. Mitchell asks, has Boots gained any weight, or is it still a ways to go for him? You're talking about Lamont Green Jr. Yes, he's gained weight. He's gained weight. I don't know that he's going to be, as of right now, anything more than a third and obvious. Don't you think? I mean, that's my assessment of where he's still got to gain some weight. Still got to keep getting bigger.
That might be something you need, though.
Yeah.
You know, I've been impressed. He wasn't available last year. I found that out the hard way at the kickoff. I said, how's Lamont looking? And Jared was like, oh. I was like, oh, no, that's not a good sign. He's staying involved, I think, is what Jared Verse said. I'm like, oh, coach, message accepted, message received. He's not available. I think he was a high-profile recruit for a reason, though. And as he gets more into the weight room, I think he's large enough to be a pass rush specialist if you need it, but you might not, because he brought in a bunch of dudes who are pretty good at it. So we'll see. But yes, I thought from the limited things that I could see in his drills today, it looked like he put on some significant weight in his lower body, which is what he needed.
Noel Fan writes, over under 7 sacks for Peyton this year. Over, easy, not close. Next question. Tony, you've talked about Jalen Lucas on the wrap. Do you see him more than I hope so. Get him some touches in space beyond kick and punt return. I talked about him today because of the suddenness. It is a wow factor. He is really, blazingly fast and sudden. It is, whoo, look at that. It's that kind of, my goodness. That is exciting. I didn't watch much Indiana football a year ago. Forgive me. In fact, I didn't see a single game that Indiana played last year in football. I choose to ignore Indiana football as much as I possibly can. But I saw his highlight reel, and then I wondered, what is Indiana doing not getting that kid on the field in, like, every other way imaginable? You're Indiana.
So, okay, you got to put the pads on and prove it there. We have highlights of him in special team situations at Indiana, but it did seem like he could make a guy miss. Like, it wasn't just straight ahead speed. You'd have to run the nine in a situation for him where it's a total gadget. You know he's on the field. You know he can only do one thing. Does kind of look like a guy you could put in a bubble situation, and if you get a block, then he's a house call. Like, did you see that, or did you think he was more limited and he needs to be kind of more of a straight ahead?
No, today wasn't a good day for that. I thought he moved exceptionally well vertically, laterally. He looked great. He did everything as well as you needed to be today. He just looked like a very good athlete. Pads will matter. Exactly right. He's a small guy. I mean, he's a short, compact little guy. I don't want to say small as in he doesn't, he's not muscular. He is, of course, at this level, they're all muscular guys. But yeah, I know he doesn't weigh a lot. So I know the wear and tear of being an every down guy is not in his future, but golly, he could be more than a special teams guy. So I believe that. Nicely done, Live Spectator. Gee, why didn't he want to stick around and play for Cignetti? Now I'm going to watch Indiana football. Good old Cignetti. Pinky ring Cignetti. My man. Cigarette hanging out of his mouth. A really bad scotch in his glass. Hey, ladies. How are you?
So what, Dewar's on the rocks?
Yeah. Some sorry-ass scotch like that. And he thinks he's cool. He thinks he knows it. And you're like, no, man, that's not it.
So can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Can I just
sure.
play the role of chat? You didn't talk too much about DJU today. It's not a quarterback's day.
Not at all.
The Torrey is not a quarterback's day.
No.
Any initial impressions? I mean, obviously he's a large man.
That's my initial impression. He's just a big dude. He's just a really big dude. He's not fast. Big dudes usually aren't. He doesn't have great football foot speed. But I mean, that's not even fair because that's a knock, but I mean, he's a 255 pound dude. What he is if you are in man and you turn your back to him and we need a few yards and he gets ahead of steam, God, I wouldn't want to tackle that. I mean, he's a big, big dude. But you know, he didn't throw today. I didn't see, what are you going to do? Yeah, there's no way to assess him today. That's the hard part. I was just kind of like, I know everybody wants to see him. I know why we shot the video of him. Everybody out there with a camera, first guy that they videotaped was that dude. And I thought, of all the days to video guys, I get it. People just want to see him. But this is not his day.
But you did mention to me that Croman Hawk looked the size. He looked the size of college football as a true freshman.
Big, big dude. Croman Hawk was more impressive because he's a better athlete. He's a big, strong dude, 6'4", they say 205. I think that's what he was in high school. He's got to be bigger than that. He's a big dude. Yeah, that part was impressive. Like the requisite thickness, like if you had to play him for some reason and he was going to get hit, you could do it. I wouldn't be like, oh, no. Remember when we first saw Tate Rodemaker? Like, oh, that guy's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
If they put him in the game and get him hit, he's going to – yeah, but that's not that way with Croman Hawk. No.
No, or Chuba. I mean, and that's what happened to him. But to look at him, you know, before that happened in interviews, like, man, I don't know. They turned him live, though. Okay, that certainly was a decision. But I'm glad I'm glad to hear that about Luke because that means he can grow into the frame. Even more if he's already that large.
He won't leave here without being a pound under 235. He's a big kid, just a big base, big thick legs, big strong kid, tall, 6'4". He'll be fine. He'll have the size necessary to play if you needed to right now. They won't need to play him this year, thankfully. Thanks to our friends at ISF. Talk about their expertise and their collaboration with us on the Jeff Cameron Show on the regular. But it's important that you pair somebody with your vision and their expertise, and they can take care of your brilliant ideas and make sure it happens. ISF, ISF.com, Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3, Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Seminoles, we all know how important it is to score in the red zone, but are you prepared for success in the retirement red zone? 5 years leading up to your retirement date and the immediate 5 years after are a critical time of thoughtful planning for you and your family. And our friend and fellow Knoll, Adam Tolliver, and his team at Artisan Financial Strategies are prepared to coach you to victory. Some of us, well, we're at midfield and want to plan ahead. Others are ready to punch it in on the goal line. Whether making sure you know how much you can spend without running out of money, protecting yourself and your family against rising healthcare costs, or carefully planning your legacy, the Artisan team brings a combined 30-plus years of planning experience and world-class resources to help you navigate the way. For more information, just head over to KnollRetirement.com. Now, that's one word, KnollRetirement.com.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at OrangeTheoryFitness.com.
Jeff Cameron Show. Wish we had a baseball game to go to today, man. It is perfect here in town. If you're in town, enjoy what we got going on here, man. Glorious. It would be great to roll over to Hauser and do some good things. but yeah, to answer your question, if you're in the number eight, if you're wearing orange, you screwed up. So when you see kids in the orange jersey, they're in the doghouse. They did something wrong. May not be the end of the world, but it could also be that message is being sent. Can't be late. Can't skip things. Can't talk back to coaches in a certain manner. Whatever it might be, you get slapped with the orange.
The hierarchy of the jerseys looks to be a little bit different since the change. Time was, in last year's Tour of Duty and before that, that the black uniform with the garnet helmet was like the top, the pinnacle. Doesn't look like it's that way anymore, because the black uniforms that some of the kids are wearing are the scout team uniforms, and the nicest ones that we saw several defensive players wearing specifically are the white uniforms with the name on the back and the fully patched numbers, not the practice ones. So
Jujaya, I don't know, had that on. Yeah,
that's correct. Yeah, he did. And I don't know what the hierarchy is anymore, because the black uniforms are out of circulation. But my guess is that the nicer the quality of the uniform, the better that you're doing. That'd be my guess.
But I do know if you're wearing an orange jersey, you're not doing well.
That remains at the bottom. I believe we call that the caste system. So that would be the untouchables.
Yeah.
The untouchables are on the
ones, right? Yeah, they have you akin to Miami or Florida, which nobody wants to be. There's that. There's all of that. So, you know, good times. You know, we'll have to do this. I had an interesting thought yesterday. I'll call my own thought. Very interesting. It was very interesting. I intrigued myself as I was driving along, and I thought, that is interesting, Cameron. Sometimes you amaze me. You and I will talk about it tomorrow on the show, and it's going to be a little bit about the winding down of our time in the ACC and where we're going and what that's going to look like. And I'm excited about it. I've had this, remember how I've told you in the past that I thought there was probably just as much likelihood, despite our great animosity towards the SEC, but that there was, it seemed to me it was even more likely, regardless of how we feel about them and the way things panned out, that we ended up in the SEC and not the Big Ten, the way so many people had talked about. And now I've changed my mind on that, Tom.
Oh, not you too. No, I don't like this. I do not like this development.
Why not? Why?
For the financial good of the city of Tallahassee, which I care very deeply about. I want all sports to drive people to that. I want more RVs in Tallahassee for sporting events.
Yeah.
And we can hold. I want that to be a crisis of parking spaces.
Well, I mean, I may not be right, but I think I might be. I might be. But I will also say this. I thought more about how we're not that far away from flying over to Ireland for the game against Georgia Tech, which I again think will be a little bit better of a game than people realize. And then number two, how uncomfortable it's going to be if ESPN is hell-bent on sending game day there. I really think they ought not do that. They ought not do that. They ought not send game day there. I think it's a potential really ugly situation. I was thinking about the fact that it will have been 8+ months for people to stew on that ultimate screw job and the fix. And then also this idea that, like, you're going to have Kirk Herbstreit amongst the people. It's not, even if you controlled, like, because ESPN will counter and say, well, it's the signs, guys. I mean, we're not worried about the signs. We can control it. No, it's not the signs. It's the chance. The chance at the top of their lungs, fueled by alcohol all throughout the day.
And the week.
And these are people that will, I mean, this is like the hardcore fan that is rolling over there that feels aggrieved and very angry. And rightfully so. And man, this will be the first time, and it comes in game one, that you have a chance to express directly to the culprit of the screw job how you feel. That unless they're going to do game day inside of Aviva Stadium where no fans can be at the time that they do the show, this is not going to go well. This is going to be an ugly, ugly, ugly situation. The F. Kirk Herbstreit chant will echo through Dublin. Whether he's there or not, those chants are going to echo through Dublin. But if you send him, that's not good. They shouldn't go. They shouldn't be there.
You know, maybe we can share with the people that we were on a meeting not too long ago with some people who are helping the grand scheme of the event, and they wanted to be educated on what's going on with ESPN and the Knowles, because a lot of them are Irish. And like, so very Jerry Seinfeld. So what's the deal with you guys and ESPN over there? And who was the one that explained the situation?
Me.
That's right. You did. Oh, I'll take this one.
Well, I've gotten to know that guy, and he's great. And I love the fine folks that we've worked with. And I've had a chance to go visit personally and eat dinner with and have long conversations with. And I can't wait to see him again. They came into Tallahassee during the course of the year. But I think they really got a raw deal in a weird way, because obviously they need ESPN. It's a it's a 8.5 month or a year long infomercial. And then the game is just an infomercial for travel to Ireland. So they needed them, but then they found out that, you know, that was the group that screwed us, and they know it's going to be ugly.
I just, you know, I get that the vitriol will take over and we're going to have to play the role at that point of don't be stupid. Rule in life. Our mutual friend Mike, he raised his child on one. Don't be stupid. There's one rule in this house. Just don't be stupid. Yeah. I would just much prefer if they show up there and they're in centers, you know, of the town, that none of us go. That there's like 12 Georgia Tech fans there and buzz. And that's it. You got buzz, 12 Georgia Tech fans, and people turn it on and say, boy, there's no atmosphere out there. And then they turn on War Chant TV, and they see scores of people, and they can't even hear us talk. We can't hear ourselves think. It's not for War Chant TV's purposes. I think it would be more meaningful than shouting down and being a part of the Jerry Springer audience than to just not show up at all. Don't be there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I can see how this is going to play. It's just not going to play well. And I'm surprised, frankly. This is a more serious discussion than we usually have at the end of the show, but I'm still surprised that there hasn't been some reconsideration. And maybe there is. I don't really see how that's going to work out. What they perpetrated was abhorrent, and it bastardized the integrity of the game at our expense. And the face of that and the ringleader of that has handled the criticisms that he's received from it very, very poorly. He's had very thin skin.
Like a 12-year-old Dear Diary.
And he's gone on Twitter diatribes like a little girl mad, and it's been embarrassing for him and his company, and it's just not going to play well. And on that note, I hope you all have a lovely Thursday. Good work out of you, Tom. Good work, Director. We'll talk to you later. Peace.